might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. If you want to know who those three frogs are, these three frogs, these spirits like frogs, it's NBC, CBS, and ABC. No, I don't know, but it sounds good to me. What we have here is this. These spirits are going out to gather people to the War of Armageddon, and they're going to be successful, and they're going to be prevalent, and they're going to be powerful, and they're going to be able to do something. And it's going to be as if God Himself just utilizes the evil of the evil one against Him and brings everybody to the wine press. And that's what we're seeing. Now, there are some mysteries here. We don't know why He dries up the river Euphrates. Oh, I know. You think you know. You think you figured it out. You got it down. You know. You know it's the kings of the east are the Chinese. Well, it might be. But I got 50, count them, 50 different alternatives to that. They're out there. People have said, what do you think it is? And some have said, well, it's got to be China. Well, I don't know. Maybe China's going to be a multitude of people who get saved. I'll tell you something, you know, you start seeing people vanishing all over the earth, and right now China's going to be on the top of the pile. It could be that. Could be that they got the ones got all born again, because they don't really have much light in China. They believe in worshiping ancestors. And when Paul tried to make his missionary drive toward the Oriental worlds, God's Spirit said, no, don't go that way. And he ended up going to Macedonia instead. We don't know who these kings of the East are. I have my own theory. I'm not so sure it's the kings of the East. It could be being the Chinese. Very well could be. I don't know. And neither do you, and neither does anybody, for sure. But I do know something else is true, and that is that when Jesus comes, He's coming from the East. And one is postulated that sounds kind of interesting, that maybe this is us. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ breaks the sky with His army, He's going to come from the east and He's going to set His foot down on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is going to be split in half. It's going to be a last moment issue. It's going to move half of it up to the north and half of it down to the south. And there's going to be a great valley created. And God is going to use that cleft in that mountain for a place of refuge at the last moment for His people to run into. He says, you're not going to run away from it. He says, at that time, Zechariah, He says, you're going to run into it. Could be the kings of the East or us, because we are a kingdom of priests. Could be the Chinese. I don't know. I'm just giving you a couple of the higher ones that I think are on my list. But it does say the Euphrates is dried up. Now, that's pretty interesting, because we saw the war of the water back there in the trumpet judgments. And it was like the angels that were released over that. No, the war took place right about the water earlier in the book. But here it's going to be completely dried up, because God's going to make a highway. If you read the book of Isaiah over and over again, He says, I'm going to make a highway, and they're going to be able to come down, and they're going to come from everywhere. The land is going to be laid level. And that's all right here in this passage about the land being leveled. Verse 13 says that those spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast. You know, we talked about the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the land, and we made the connection that the beast out of the land was the false prophet. Here you see him called such, the false prophet. He is a religious leader. He is the beast out of the land. The Antichrist is a political leader. He hates the Antichrist or the false prophet, but he's got to use him. And in the next chapter, we're going to see Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, the spiritual or ecclesiastical system destroyed in a day. But for now, just understand that these three have great sway. It is the false prophet who made everybody get a mark. It is the false prophet who said, worship the beast. It is the false prophet who is the one who stands right next to the beast saying he's the one. Just like the Holy Spirit says Jesus is the one. And the dragon represents, as it were, the unholy trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Devil has never had an original idea. He is a counterfeiter. Everything that you are lured away from God with, every temptation is common to man. And what it is, without fail, if you look at it close enough, you'll find it is a perversion of something God made good and holy. Gluttony, good food. It's a perversion of eating. Adultery and fornication, it's a perversion of marriage. Homosexuality, perversion of marriage. You take everything down the list. Anger, bitterness, and rage. God would have us get angry over some things, but bitterness and rage and wrath and unbridled things that give us trouble and confuse us and make us act irrationally, that's a perversion of good, old-fashioned, just conviction about what's right and honor and commitment to what is necessary to be done when somebody needs some justice and judgment in our world. It's all a perversion. The devil's all about perverting, and here he is counterfeiting the Trinity. The Bible says in verse 14, "For they are the spirits of devils." They're not going to be. I think in the Left Behind series, there were actually three ugly looking dudes standing in the room with the Antichrist at one point. They kind of embodied them as people. Well, this says they're spirits. In no uncertain term, they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather the men to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, if you look at that, what he's saying is it's coming down to it. Breakneck speed. Devil's got his time is up. He's been put on the shelf for a few minutes while he's in darkness. The sores are there. The sun is cranked up. We've got blood for water, blood of the seas. You can only go so long without water before you start, you know, really getting in trouble. Well, he says all the rivers are going to be made blood, so how it can't be too long. And verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You know, when you see that red letter splashed on the page, what you see is God saying, I know some of you are going to be reading this on the playing field. And I want to remind you that when I come, it's going to be quick, it's going to be unexpected, and when I come, you need to keep your garments clean. You need to just hang on. You need to keep praying. You know, when you get into the midst of some kind of great tragedy, it's not time to panic, it's time to pray. Now for you and me, there's so many resources when times go bad. Man, we can turn the music up. We can turn the TV on. We can go eat. We can go to the restaurant. We can get in the car. We can take drugs. Man, we can do whatever we want to do. We can do a multitude of things. Back in the day before all this stuff was available, people were living more in a little bit of a vulnerable environment. And what do you see in the passage? God says some of you are going to be on the playing field. Blessed. It's a beatitude. He says, blessed is he that watches. Just keep your eyes open. Do not stumble. Do not buckle. It'll be all right. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Folks, there's a whole host of human beings going to go into the millennial kingdom having been scorched by the traumas of the tribulation. The Bible says in verse 6, and he gathered them together. He's talking about he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, a lot of people think that means, you know, really, really bad things, you know. Well, it does, but it doesn't mean bad things. It means bad thing, and it's a real thing. God is going to do a real work. He calls it a wine press. He's going to draw all the people of the earth and all the armies of the earth into this place, this location, what, about 12 by 20 mile area. It's been seen by great conquerors of the past to be one of the greatest arenas and theaters for war ever found on the face of the earth. And there, and expanded, we saw back in chapter 14 that it's actually going to expand because these people are going to be marching to it. God's going to take this as the centerpiece of the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes back, and he's going to use it as his wine press, and people for like a 200-mile area are going to be wiped out, and they're going to be slaughtered. And we'll look at that more deliberately in a moment. Look at verse 17. It says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done." That's God's voice. It is done. What is God doing? God is wrenching the world back out of the hands of wicked, sinful man. God is taking back the throne. And when he does this final judgment, it's poured out upon the air. Why the air? Because the God of this world has been dubbed the Prince of the Power of the Air. He's done. His time is up. And when Jesus shows up in chapter 19, after a parenthesis of 17 and 18, he shows up in great power and great glory and with all the saints of the earth, and he brings this world into subjection. But for now, It says that he pours this last bowl into the air, verse 18, and says there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided, that's probably Jerusalem, into three parts. And the city of the nations fell, all the nations. You look at New York City, buildings are going to fall. And you look at France, and the Eiffel Tower is going to fall. And the Tower of Peace is going to tumble. And all the great cities of the earth are going to be leveled in a moment. Why? Because King Jesus is coming, and He is wiping the slate clean. Now, God has done this stuff before in human time. When we look at the future, all we got to do is look at the past and see how He said it would be, and it was. And He's saying, this is how it's going to be, and it will be. And He goes on to say, in verse 19, He says, And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God. That's the inspiration for every false system of government and religion that has ever been perpetrated in this earth. And it says, she came in remembrance before God, and to her to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away. Look at this. And the mountains were not found. That means Jesus is going to make the high places flat. After the great flood of Noah, the Bible says that the mountains rose up. God did a remolding of the earth so that the waters would go a certain way. You look at the Grand Canyon, it's got the marks of the flood's waters everywhere. It wasn't a great deal of time in that little trickle of water called the Colorado. It was a little bit of time, and it was a great big bunch of water. And it just carved out that whole area. Folks, it's not rocket science. It's whether we want to believe God or not. If you believe God and go looking for the evidence, you'll find it everywhere. Because His fingerprints are on this earth. Apples fit your hand. Pears fit your hand. They're not this big. God made this earth for man. It wasn't an accident. If it would have been an accident, you would expect a whole lot of things to be out of proportion. It's not. God made it for us. He's going to take it back. And He's going to make it perfectly serviceable for His kingdom. And the Bible says in verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent, that's about 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Beloved, I want you to turn with me real quick as I conclude this morning. To Zechariah. It's real close to the end of the Old Testament. If you find Matthew, go back a couple books and you'll find Zechariah. It's the second to the last book of the Old Testament. Find Malachi and you'll be on the page I need because it's the last chapter of Zechariah. Chapter 14, Zechariah 14 says this, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." He's talking to the earth now. He's saying, "Thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee." He says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." Sounds like Armageddon, doesn't it? It is. It says, "And the city shall be taken, the houses will be rifled, and the women will be ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And then shall go forth the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle." Pretty awesome. It's His coming, His second coming. Verse 4 says, "And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the south," or I'm sorry, toward the west. "And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall be removed toward the south. Half of it shall go toward the north. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains." Which is odd, because you would think you'd run away. "For the valley of the mountains shall reach Azal. And yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord your God shall come, and all the saints with thee." He says the people of God are going to be brought back, and the people of God are going to come with the saints. And God is leveling the world. He's retooling everything. And here I file down to verse 12 for the battle of Armageddon. "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that have fought the Lord with, that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet." Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. They haven't even fallen yet. Sword of his mouth speaks the word. I don't know what the word will be, but I think the word enough. You ever said that to the children in the house when they're getting a little ram jam? Enough! Guess what? It's getting a little ram jam down here. We act like God's not watching. We act like God does not see. But He sees every aborted baby. He sees every act of fornication, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual. He sees every devastation of the family, every child abused. He said He sees every abuse, every kidnap. He sees every perpetrated act of crime. And He keeps account. And there will be a moment when He will say, enough. When that day comes, the Bible says that their flesh shall be consumed away while they stand upon their feet. Eyes dissolve in their holes, tongues in their mouths. The Bible says in verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And what we're seeing is God is going to completely discomfit this world. He's going to take it back. Whose side are you on this morning? Really? I mean, really? Whose side are you on? If you're living in a condition or behavior of unbelief chronically, as if God doesn't matter, I want you to know something. I've just read you your fortune. Now, don't fool yourself. If God doesn't factor into any of your thoughts, the Bible says God is not in all of His thoughts. Yeah. We don't even think about it. We just live a life as if God doesn't exist. Nobody told me I'm ignorant. I don't know. Hey, it doesn't matter. You got the book, man. God says, seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Whose side are you on this morning? Because if you've never been born again, all of these plagues may be seen with your physical eyes one day. Don't let it be so. It doesn't have to be so. You could be born again today.